He may be fat and bald, but he knows his sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
When we've walked the earth every inch and mile, left so high.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org or on the radio at 95.9 FM KGVM. You can also reach me on the Twitters at IanLaird3. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you, as always, by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including the Bobcats road game against Northern Colorado, and of course the LSU-Alabama game we'll talk about a little bit here in the show, the huge game of the week there for the FBS, I guess you would call it. Once again, located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus, give Spectators a call at 587-2156. That's Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your sports authority. Lots going on from the past week. Lots coming up this week as well. Tons of sports around the Valley, including Cats almost pull off a huge upset against a ranked basketball team. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And also, playoff football for high school teams kicked off this past weekend, and we'll go into the quarterfinals this week. Got a couple teams here from the Valley to play in those, but we'll break down all of the different brackets on that. Also, Cats come back after losing two for a big home win in football and a big milestone in cross country. We'll also talk about that as well. But first, as always, we'll take a quick look at national news. We'll start with college football. For the first college football playoff rankings of the season, has Ohio State debuting at number one and defending national champ Clemson outside looking in. No big surprise that Clemson's on the outside. They haven't really played that many decent teams and almost lost to, I believe it was North Carolina, South Carolina this year. Kind of down for them. LSU's or Ohio State's kind of a surprise, but Ohio State is at number one. The Buckeyes are followed by number two LSU and number three Alabama, who have been ranked first or second in all of the AP polls for the past 4 weeks and will face off against each other again this weekend. We'll talk about that here in a second. So the top 10 looks like this. Ohio State's number one at 8-0. LSU number two at 8-0. Alabama 8-0 at number three. Penn State also undefeated at four. Clemson undefeated at five. Then you get into the one loss and two loss teams. Georgia's in at number six at 7-1. Oregon also at 8-1. They have not had their bye week yet. They are at number seven. Number eight, Utah at 8-1. So Oregon-Utah game is going to be huge there in the Pac-12 once that happens. Oklahoma at 7-1 after losing to Kansas State. I don't see a way that they can get back into it, but that's just me. And then at number 10, Florida, which is the biggest shocker, some people say, that they're all the way down at number 10 at 7-2, but they do have two losses. They're the only two-loss team in the top 10. Sure, their losses were to LSU, who's a very, very good team, and I believe they lost to Georgia as well, who's also up there. So that's a tough one, I think, but you still have two losses, and you can't lose those games. Expect to make a four-team playoff in the future if you do. So it'll be interesting. It'll all pan out. A lot of people are freaking out about, oh, how is this team that ranked that high, and how is this team ranked that high? It'll all work itself out in the end. A lot of these teams are going to play each other, including the game this weekend. A lot of those Georgia things will be figured out later on when they all play each other in championship games or whatever that might be. So I would calm down a little bit on all of the excitement. I think Clemson has the easiest road to eight or to undefeated, making it in. And if they make it undefeated, they'll go in. I think Oregon and Utah, it seems like the Pac-12 is always on the outside looking in. Oregon's good, but that loss to Auburn in the first week of the season. Again, everyone thought Auburn was going to be great. Now Auburn's lost a couple games as well, so that knocks down Oregon a little bit. They have struggled with a couple teams, including Washington, who's a good team, but they're not right up there. Utah's dominated teams, except for their one loss. So I think whoever loses that, it's for sure out, and I don't think even the winner of that will move forward. Alabama, I think, will end up being in the top four, even if they lose to LSU this weekend. It could mean that they don't make it into the championship game, but we'll have to see how that plays out. So, but moving on to the week's big game for FBS, as number two LSU takes on number three Alabama in Tuscaloosa this weekend. What could be the biggest game of the year for both undefeated teams, and it is so far. It could be even further down the road the biggest game that we see this year. And it won't be easy for, as my mother calls them, her Tigers, as Alabama has only lost 4 home games since 2007 and has won 31 straight home games coming into this Saturday. Game is scheduled for kickoff at 1:30 on Saturday and can be watched on CBS. Alabama is an 8-point favorite going into the game, but has not faced a really good team like LSU since last year's championship game, one that they got blown out in, a huge loss to Clemson. My heart and my head are all saying the Tigers will get the W and become the number one team by the end of the week, but it should be a great game. That game is going on just after the kickoff of the Bobcat game at noon, so watch the first bit of the Bobcat game. Hopefully they're blowing them out and you can switch over to the LSU-Alabama game. If not, watch the whole Bobcat game and then switch over to watch the end of the LSU-Bama game, if that is the way that it works out. So good luck to LSU. I've never been a huge Alabama fan, but they're really, really good. They've got a great coach. They're always, that's kind of the top of the Mount Everest of college football at that level is Alabama. Sure, they've been knocked off by Clemson, but if somebody can do it consistently, we'll have to see if that can happen. And LSU has the first shot to prove that they are this good. Really, their third shot. They've played 2 top 5 teams or top 10 teams already this year. But this will be their big test. If they can get through Alabama and not have a letdown going through, they will coast into the playoffs as probably the number one team. Moving on to the NFL news. My Lions lost again to the Raiders this past week, won a game that I thought for sure they'd win. They lost 31-24. Stafford went 26 of 41 for 406 yards and 3 touchdowns and 1 interception. You would think that would be good enough to win, but again, it wasn't, because it's the Lions. Lions are now 3-4-1 on the year and have crushed my dreams for another season. Lions will play the hapless Bears, who are just as bad at 5-3. So I will probably be the only one watching. There may be a couple of Bears buddies of mine watching as well, but not many people are going to tune into that game. The Packers also lost last week, so that division, not great. It looked like it was going to be a strong division with the Packers coming out. They've lost a couple as well. They're always dangerous, so this will be interesting to see how the North beats up on themselves and everything else to see who comes out on top of that division. My guess is it's the Packers, unless the Bears can pull off a miracle coming forward here. In other NFL news, Antonio Brown is scheduled to meet with the NFL next week concerning accusations of sexually assaulting multiple women, sources told ESPN's Josina Anderson. On Thursday, Brown is eager to present his side, and there are teams interested in signing him pending the resolution of the league's wide-ranging investigation, sources told ESPN. NFL has yet to interview Brown. The veteran wide receiver was released by the New England Patriots on Week 3 after playing in just one game. Brown is being investigated again by the NFL under its personal conduct policy following a lawsuit filed by his former trainer, which alleged she was sexually assaulted by multiple occasions. Brown also was accused of sexual misconduct, at his home by an artist who was working there in 2017. We've talked a bunch about Brown and these issues in the past. They've already come through. He's finally going to get interviewed by the NFL. I don't see how any team, even if he's cleared, can take a waiver on a guy like this with these kind of issues in his past. The platooning that he did with the Raiders and how he left there, just basically trolling and destroying the whole organization as he walked out the door. He gets a chance with the Patriots. He plays one game. All these allegations come out. They release him. He blasts the owner, blasts all the other players. Said, you know, I like Tom Brady, but who doesn't? Tom Brady's pretty cool. So I don't see how any team can look and say, no, he won't hurt our chemistry of our team. He's not going to implode our team from the inside out. I really think he will. So any team that does, good luck to you. Hopefully it's not my Lions. But I could see them doing something like that just to further destroy me. And finally, FCF playoff committee also came up with their official or first week top 10 playoff seeds going into the last 3 weeks of the season. They have North Dakota State at number 1, JMU at number 2, Weber State at 3, South Dakota State at 4, Sac State at 5, Northern Iowa at 6, Central Arkansas at 7, Montana, University of, at 8, Furman at 9, and New Hampshire at 10. I don't really see any issues with this. Central Arkansas, I don't know if should be that high. Everyone seems to always give way too much praise to Northern Iowa, and then they get trounced in the playoffs. Furman, is tough. New Hampshire plays a lot of really good teams, and so it's hard there with Villanova and some of those. They just beat Villanova, so that's why they moved up. Montana State's at about 14th or 15th right now, so they're going to have to win out, I think, to make the playoffs. They might be able to lose maybe the last game. Cat Grizz, you don't want to. Maybe UC Davis, but I doubt that. They're going to pretty much have to win out there to make the playoffs and even compete for a seed if they want one. Again, top eight seeds. Or the top eight teams get a seed, so 1 through 8 get a bye in the first round. The other 16 teams all play to see who plays those eight. Top one, of course, gets home field all the way through. So you don't want to be in the North Dakota State side of the bracket, but you also, I don't think, want to be on the Montana or Montana State side. If they get on a roll and you have to come to Bozeman or Missoula, I think it's going to be really tough sledding. But the Cats have a good game against Northern Colorado coming up this weekend that we'll talk about here in a second. We will take another quick break, or our first quick break, and come back with a look at high school playoff football games coming up this weekend. Reminder that we will have the Bozeman High Hawks playoff game versus Helena High here live on Friday night. Broadcast will start at 6:45 with kickoff scheduled for 7 o'clock. Bozeman Hawks football is brought to you by the Ridge Athletic Club, Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, and the Liquor Spot. I'd like to thank all three of them for sponsoring this year. It's been a great year to do to get back into football. I struggled a little bit at the beginning, but I've picked up momentum towards the end like any good team does. But it's been really great. Blake Seeds has been terrific with me as my color guy. He'll be back up there in the booth as well. So it should be a great game. Helena High against Bozeman should be a very, very close game, but we'll talk about that here coming up in a little bit. We'll take a quick break. Once again, you're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. Reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. You can also reach me at ianlaird3/KGM Sport, KGVM Sports on the Twitters. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including the Bobcats road game versus Northern Colorado this Saturday, as well as the LSU-Alabama game coming this weekend as well, located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Give them a call at 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your local sports authority. So let's take a look at the high school football playoffs as they kicked off last weekend. Some big wins in the AA ranks for Bozeman High, Helena High, Billings Senior, Missoula Sentinel, all the teams, and we'll go over those here in a quick second. We'll start with the quarterfinals for AA. All games are Friday night at 8 o'clock with the home team. I'll say at, so you'll know. Kalispell at 5-5 is going to be at Butte High at 9-0. Helena Capital, 8-2 versus Billings West at 8-1. That's going to be at Wendy's Field at Davis Stadium. Billings Senior at 5-4 is going to be at Missoula Sentinel. They are 9-1. And Helena High comes to Bozeman. They are 6-4. Bozeman High will take them on Saturday or Friday night at 7 o'clock right here on KGVM. Again, Bozeman 8-1 on the year. So my picks for the AA this week. I think Butte High handles Kalispell pretty easily. Butte High's got a stud for a quarterback. He's going to be playing for the Cats next year. They kind of offered him as a junior, thinking that he was going to be more of a safety. He's a big hitter, fast kid, but he has really stepped up as a quarterback and hasn't been able to be stopped by anybody so far this year. Nobody's even come close. I think Sentinel came the closest, and they lost by 14 or something like that. 10 or 14. So I think Butte High will be able to run away with that one, which will set up a huge matchup the next week if everything plays out right. I think Helena Capital will get beat by Billings West. I think Billings West, best thing that happened to them this year was that loss to Bozeman. You never say a loss is a good thing, but I think it woke them up and made them realize we can't coast through these things. I think the Ryan kid is going to be on fire, and I think they want revenge from that loss. They almost want the Hawks to win out so they can meet in the championship game to prove it. So I think Billings West will cruise at home on that one. Pretty much all the home teams, I think, will win. Billings Senior, I don't think, has a chance against Missoula Sentinel. The running game with the Lee kid that transferred from Phillipsburg is just too good this year. He's going to be playing for the Grizz next year. Missoula Sentinel's only hiccup this year was against Butte, and that was in Butte. So I think Missoula Sentinel cruises against Billings Senior. Billings Senior does have some good weapons on the outside, some great passing options when it comes to the Cousins to play out there. But I just don't see them having enough firepower to keep up with Sentinel. Again, Sentinel likes to run the ball, so the game's going to be shortened. Clock's not going to stop as much as when they're airing it out all the time. So I think that really plays into Sentinel winning big, and I think the closest game is might even be Helena High at 6-4 against Bozeman High at 8-1. Bozeman High playing at home. They lost their second game of the year to Missoula Big Sky, then avenged that by crushing them at home in the first round of the playoffs. So I think they've got that monkey off their back. Asher Croy is unstoppable. Carter Ash is a stud. DiAgostino is kind of a game manager. He does great back there at quarterback. He's not going to beat you with his arm that much, but he's going to beat you with his decision-making and the weapons that are around him. And the Hawks coaches do a great job of doing that. Helena High, a good run team. They like to pass the ball a little bit, but I really think that it's going to come down to can Bozeman High just maintain that running course and wear down Helena High, and I think at the end that's what's going to happen. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Once again, that game is right here at 6:45 Friday night. You can listen to it or tune in on the website to listen to it there. 6:45 is going to be the start of the broadcast with 7 o'clock scheduled for kickoff. So good luck to Bozeman High in that one in the AA ranks. And again, if all plays out, it sets up for a huge week next week. Next Friday, you could have Sentinel traveling to Bozeman as two great teams, and Sentinel's only loss coming to number one Butte, who hasn't lost this year. And then you have Billings West taking on Butte in Butte to try to set up any of those four teams I think could win the state championship. I think it'll come down to Bozeman against Billings West, but Butte... I think Billings West Butte next week is going to be just a barn burner, and there's going to be a lot of points put up on the board because both those teams can throw the ball. Both of them have very explosive offenses, and we've seen Billings West defense at times struggles to slow down the run and the pass at times, so we'll have to see how that works out. But we got to get there first, and that starts with the Helena High versus Bozeman High game Saturday, or once again, Friday night at 7 o'clock, 6:45 is our broadcast. Make sure you tune in if you get a chance. Moving on to Class A football, no local teams playing this weekend, but the bracket breaks down like this. These games are all Saturday, start at 1 o'clock. Frenchtown at 8-2 is at Miles City, 8-0, so a long road trip there. Billings Central at 7-2 takes on Hamilton at 8-1. Haver at 5-4 will go to Dillon and play in Dillon at 8-1 in their record, and Libby at 8-2 takes on Laurel at 7-1. So the closest teams will probably be Dillon and Laurel to us. I think Libby has a chance to knock off Laurel. My picks are going to be Miles City, I think, takes care of Frenchtown at home. I think Billings Central pulls off the upset at Hamilton. It's not a huge upset, 7-2 and 8-1, but I think they'll pull that one off. I think Dillon wins against Haver. Dillon's been really, really good of late, and Haver comes in just struggling and had a big upset last week at 5-4. And I think Libby will go on the road and beat Laurel. Locomotives there, even though Laurel is 7-1. So I'm going to pick two road teams to win of the four games. Moving on to Class B. These, again, are Saturday as well at 1 o'clock. Florence at 7-2 will take on Fairfield at Fairfield. They are 9-0. That's games, again, all these are, well, most of these at 1 o'clock. Missoula Loyola at 6-4 will be at Manhattan. I don't think that's going to be much of a game at 1 o'clock, so good luck to the Tigers. We'll talk about that here in a second. Columbus at 6-3 at Eureka, who's 9-0. That's at 2 o'clock. And Malta at 8-1 is at Red Lodge at 9-0, and that is at 1 o'clock. So I will take probably Fairfield in that first one, considering they haven't lost yet, and Florence has lost twice. One of Florence's losses, though, was to Manhattan, who's undefeated as well. So don't overlook Florence, but I think Fairfield will take that one. I think Manhattan will cruise over Missoula Loyola. Manhattan's offense is just explosive. And if they get going kind of like the Cats did last week, I don't think anybody can slow them down or stop them. So I really have them in that one. I think Eureka will take out Columbus, and I think Malta will pull the upset over Red Lodge at home. Even though Malta's 8-1 and they're going on the road, they'll beat Red Lodge in Red Lodge, even though Red Lodge is 9-0. So I'll take Malta, Eureka, Manhattan, and Fairfield in Class B. Moving on to 8-man football in the quarterfinals. These are all Saturday, November 9th as well. All games at 1 o'clock. Thompson Falls will take on Fairfield. Park City will take on Fort Benton. Belt at 7-2. Belt at Alberton Superior. Belts at 7-2, Superior at 10-0, and then Drummond Phillipsburg at 7-2, and Great Falls Central at 7-2 as well. That game is in Great Falls. So I'll take Fairfield, Fort Benton, Albert and Superior always take the teams that are split, and Drummond, Peaberg. I think Peaberg has something to prove when they lost their player and then they sued Missoula for basically recruiting him to go to Missoula, Sentinel. I think they have something to prove that, you know what, just because you left doesn't mean we can't win a tournament or a state title. I think they have a lot to prove, and I think they're going to come up and show that when it's all said and done. So good luck again to Manhattan Tigers. I think they're going to roll this week. Good luck to the Hawks as well. We'll take another quick break, come back and look at MSU action from the past week. Reminder that we will have the Bozeman Hawks playoff game once again versus Helena High here live. Football is brought to you by the Ridge Athletic Club, Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, and the Liquor Spot. Once again, that game, the broadcast will start at 6:45 with the kickoff at 7. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM. Go.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs or 95.9 FM. You can also reach us on my Twitter at IanLaird3/KGVMSports. As always, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, once again, including the Bobcats game versus Northern Colorado this weekend. Also, the LSU-Alabama game, located in 19 Tide Lane by the MSU campus. Give them a call, 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your sports authority. So let's take a quick look now at MSU action from around the past week. We'll cover the football game here shortly, but we'll start with cross-country. Great week for Bobcat, the cross-country team. Four Bobcats competed in the all-conference performance as both Montana State cross-country teams earned strong showings at the Big Sky Championships on Saturday, November 2nd, at Boomerang Golf Course. History was made by Montana State's freshman Camila Noah. The Bozeman native took first place in the women's 5K race with a time of 17 minutes, 41.3 seconds. Her gold medal performance was the first for the MSU women's team in 27 years when Jennifer Bayless won the conference championship in 1992. So congratulations. The individual accomplishments by Knowing was the first by any Bobcat cross-country runner under the guidance of MSU director Lyle Weiss. She earned Big Sky Freshman of the Year honors and served as the third consecutive season MSU has had an all-conference performer on the women's side. So congratulations to Camila. That is a huge, huge get and a huge victory for the cross-country team and the Bobcats. A local girl making us all proud, so congratulations to her. Moving on to the boys' side, Colin Buck, Ty Morgan, and Duncan Hamilton, became the first men's first team all-conference runners since 2014's Big Sky Championships as they placed 8th, 9th, and 10th, respectively. So great showing there by both cross-country teams. Cross-country is always something you think of NEU and some of those schools because they're higher up and they've dominated them for so long. I think Weber's really good at cross-country as well. So for Montana State to show up like that is a huge, huge step forward. In a great year, and the young lady's only a freshman for the women's side, so you're going to see her as maybe a four-time national champion or a Big Sky champion. She'll move on to nationals now, so congratulations to her and all of the Bobcats, making us proud and just showing that it's not just football and basketball, it's cross-country and some of these other sports that are great as well. Speaking of one of those, we'll move on to volleyball now. Cats lost their second straight home game in the Big Sky to the Big Sky's number one team, Northern Colorado, but not without a fight. Montana State's volleyball team had the Big Sky Conference top team on the ropes, but eventually fell to Northern Colorado 22-25, 25-21, 21-25, 25-19, 15-13. So they only lost by two in the fifth set on Thursday night in Schroyer Gym. Montana State now 10-11 overall, 6-6 in the Big Sky, captured sets 1-3, while Northern Colorado 16-7 and 10-1. So that's how close they were, 10-1. They only lost one Big Sky game. So congratulations to the Cats there. Took the game's 2nd and 4th set and forced a 5th and deciding frame. This week, the Cats hit the road to face Eastern Washington tonight at 7 o'clock in Cheney. You can watch that on Pluto Sports. And then they play 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon in Moscow, Idaho versus the Idaho Vandals. That, I believe, is also on Root Sports as well. So go check that out if you have a chance. Moving on to Lady Cats basketball. It took Montana State 10 minutes to knock the proverbial cobwebs off of the uniforms before using a dominating 27-3 advantage in the second quarter en route to an 80-57 exhibition victory over Northwest Nazarene on Monday night in Worthington Arena. Senior Madeline Smith led five Bobcat players in double figures, scoring 13 points. Also in double digits were Martha Kuderer and Kola Badbear, the freshman out of Billings. She had 12. Oleana Squires, I always get that name wrong, with 11. And Darian White also had 10. So a good showing. Big Sky all everything. Didn't score that much in the game. But some of the seniors and longtime captains of this team really stepped up in that exhibition game. Again, it was just an exhibition, didn't count. You can see they were a little rusty. They're trying to figure out how to play with each other and everything else because there's a lot of new pieces. Kola Badbear is going to be a monster down low. She is a force. She can dribble it. She can shoot it from down low. She rebounds. She has a nice touch from a little outside. Not going to shoot a lot of three-pointers, but she's going to be very, very good down low, and she's only a true freshman. She's struggled with some injuries. She hasn't played in over a year. Because of an injury that happened last year in her high school career with her knee. So hopefully she can stay healthy. But I really see big things for the Lady Cats. I think a lot of people do. They're picked to win the Big Sky. They're picked to have the Big Sky Player of the Year. Picked to have first team. Oleana Squires is a first team player as well. Talking to some of them at the gala the other night, they're very excited about this year. So it should be a great year for them. That all kicks off again in Worthington Arena against UC Davis at 7 o'clock in Worthington Arena. Make sure you go check that out. Once again, that is Friday night. The Bobcats host UC Davis, a very, very good team from California, at 7 o'clock in the Worthington Arena, as I call it. Moving on to men's basketball. One season after Montana State opened its season with a home loss by almost 40 to Utah State, the Bobcats nearly returned the favor on Tuesday, but the 17th-ranked Aggies shot and made 20 free throws more than Montana State did in an 81-73 win that wasn't sealed until the closing seconds. 20 seconds left, and that's when Utah State hit a three-pointer to put it to 6 instead of a one-possession game, so it was that close. Not much you can say about Frey, but we'll get there in a second. Bobcat guard Harold Frey, career-high 34 points, fueled MSU's upset bid. He was almost shooting it from half court and making them in the game. A sensational senior. His scoring outburst led all players, and he added 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal to the game. No blocks, but he'll get there. Utah State finished 35 of 45 from the free throw line. That was the big difference. With Rain Mountain West Player of the Year, Sam Morrell, hit 17 of his 18 charity tosses. So he's 17 and 18 from the floor. That's not a bad night for him. Cats finished 16 for 26 from the line. So they only missed 10, but again, when you're outshot by that many, even those misses, they could have made all of them. And, well, they would have barely won by about 3 if they would have made every free throw. Missed some untimely three-pointers at the end, but we'll get there. The Aggies out-rebounded MSU 41-36. I thought it would be way bigger than that. Kind of what I expected in the game. This week, the Cats will face Rocky Mountain on Saturday at 4 o'clock in Worthington Arena. So let's take a look at the Cats game, one that I listened to on the interwebs. Harold Frey was a stud last year, and he's even better this year. How he is not first team all Big Sky at the point guard is a travesty. I've said it a couple weeks ago when all that came out, that how is he not considered the best player at the point guard spot in the Big Sky? Sure, you've got Pridgett over in UM, but he's not a true point guard. He's more of a shooting guard. Harold Frey proved that he can lead this team. Sure, he scored almost half of the Cats' total points, but there was some other scoring from other players, and they didn't really need to. If Harold Frey's feeling it, give it to him and let him score. He is a dominating player, and it's going to be really, really fun, and we're going to miss him a ton next year. So I think he's a stud. That's a very, very huge high point. We all knew that coming into the season, though. But I don't know what the people in the Big Sky are watching, how they don't have him as first team. I talked to Colter Nuanez, or he was tweeting about it as well, and we were messaging back and forth, and he said the same thing. the kid's just a stud. What they were thinking, he has no clue either. The three-point line was moved back to the international rules, and I think that really helps him as well because these foreign players have all played internationally already. They all already use that line. A lot of the college kids and the American kids haven't, and so they're trying to adjust another 4 or 5 inches. And it doesn't seem like that much, but it does throw off your shot. And if you're used to taking those long ones, they're not going to step at you as quickly, and you can get it off quick. If you're used to making them, you're going to drain them, and that's kind of what Harold Frey did. Number two thing I loved about what I saw is Cats have an inside game that we haven't seen in quite a few years. My man crush, of course, Devin Kirby, will improve with some size. He's getting better. He's only a junior this year. So his sophomore year was good. He's still got 2 more years. Still could use some more weight on those bones. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But he played lights out, and he played really, really good. Bello down low is going to be a stud. The transfer is from England, I believe, is lights out. Had some huge alley-oop dunks in this game. Held his own on defense. Had some blocks. Not the biggest kid in the world. I think he's listed at about 6'10". He's maybe 6'9". But he played lights out with the goggles and everything. I think he's going to be really, really impressive to see. We have a couple other JC kids that came in. Everybody on the team played. Not one kid, it looks like, is going to redshirt. I think that'll come down. But again, Cats played number three. Cats played a lot of people. That intensity and toughness never wavered, no matter who was in the game. And I think that's why he was shuffling them on through. I think this is, if you can play defense and you can rebound the ball, and you can play with that intensity, you're going to get minutes on this team. I don't think it's about a high shooting percentage, or he shoots amazing threes, but he lacks on defense. If you're lacking on defense, other kids are going to come up and hit those threes that are playing defense, and I think that's what Sprinkle is really trying to push home here, is defense and rebounding has won. The top four teams in defensive rebounds have been the top four teams in the Big Sky for the past 4 or 5 years. Whoever wins it is the number one defense and rebounds the best. So that's what the Cats need to do. They've got some big kids down low that can do that. Fluette played great. He's a little skinnier too, but he's really, really athletic. Can move without the ball, can move with the ball from the outside in. Also is a great presence inside. So I think this team as a whole, they're going to play a lot of players. They're not going to play just 8, 9 kids. They might play 12, 13 at a night. That's going to keep them fresh. And if they can keep that up-tempo and that intensity on defense going, keep people in front of them, I think it's going to be a great year. Tempo of the team is really going to make people happy here in Bozeman. We just spoke about it. This is a fast-moving, you get the rebound, push it quick, go to the basket. That first 6 seconds, you can do whatever you want. After that, maybe he'll set up a play. Sprinkle's talked about that since the beginning with me. But if they can get it down low and they can shoot it outside like Harold Frey is and everything else, that tempo is really going to throw some teams. Now it's early, but we'll get into that in a second. But we as fans, number four, have to show up to support this team at home. Be loud. Fill the arena for all the games, not just Cat Grizz. This team is going to be exciting to watch, but these players came here to get the college atmosphere and everything else. We need to give them that. And if we can, this team could really, really make some noise by the end of the year. I really think that they could. But we need to be there to make sure that they can as fans and everything else. With all that said, it was a great start to the season against a top 20 team. Let's also not get carried away, claiming ourselves national champs and Big Sky champs just yet. We're still a ways away from any of that. But it was a very positive first step, I think, for Sprinkle's first game. There's not a lot of tape. I know a lot of people said this on the interwebs, that there's not a lot of tape on this team, and so Utah State might not have known what to expect. But if they're ranked 17th in the country, they've got players that, even if it's not what they expected, they can make sure that it gets done. So I think that's a really, really good positive thing. There's a lot of games to go. There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some hardships. If we can show up to the field house and the brick to support both of these teams, the girls and the boys teams, I think it could be a really, really special year by the end of the year. There's going to be some hurdles and some tough times at the beginning, but this team is just going to gel better and get better and better and better together as it goes along. So make sure you get out there and you support these teams that are playing their butts off for you. We'll take another quick break and come back with a look at the Bobcats football. This last week, along with a glance that the Cats have to do to get a win on the road. Reminder, once again, the Bozeman Hawk playoff game versus Helena High is live this Friday here on KGVM. Broadcast will start at 6:45 with kickoff at 7. Bozeman Hawks football is brought to you by the Ridge Athletic Club, Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, and the Liquor Spot. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Baby, this is the rhythm of the night.
Baby, tonight's like fuego. We about to spend a dinero.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at kgvm.org on your interwebs, 95.9 FM on the radio dial, or 406-624-6534. Also at Twitter, at IanLaird3/KGVMSports. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. Countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games. Once again, including the Bobcats game or the LSU-Alabama game, both coming up this weekend, located in 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Give them a call at 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your sports authority. So coming into this last weekend, we'll go over the Bobcats football game. After two Lane Sumner rushing touchdowns gave the Bobcats 6-3 on the year, 3-2 in the Big Sky Conference, a 14-point lead. Midway through the first quarter, quarterback Tucker Rovig found freshman Jaden Smith open down the right sideline for a 47-yard pass. Beautiful pass. We'll talk about that in a minute. It was the first reception and the first touchdown for Smith's Bobcat career. Made the score 21-0 after the first quarter in front of a crowd of 15,617. Actually, a decent crowd considering it was hunting weekend and everything else. It was pretty packed. 15's kind of pathetic. We need to be up in the 17s, get another 1,500 people or so there. 2,000 people would be nice, but it was what it was, but it was a good crowd. Rovig opened up the second quarter scoring by connecting with freshman Derek Snell on a beautiful play-action pass for 10 yards out. This was Snell's first score of the season as well. Later in the third quarter, Tyrone Marshall took a sweep around the left side, got a key block from Mitch Brott, and hurtled into the end zone on an 18-yard sweep, making the score 35-0, Marshall's first run and first score as a Bobcat as well. So a lot of firsts this past weekend. Finally, just before halftime, senior Kevin Cassis lined up at quarterback and found Rovig all alone in the end zone. That was Rovig's first scoring catch of his career. So first. 42-0 advantage held until late in the game when Southern Utah, who's now 2-8 and 1-5, scored on a pass from backup quarterback Justin Miller to John Mitchell. So couldn't get the shutout, but still 42-7 is nothing to sneeze at for the Cats. While the offense took its foot off the gas pedal in the second half, MSU's defense continued to dominate until late in the game. Through three quarters, Southern Utah gained just 1 yard on the ground and finished with 50 yards rushing and 249 yards total. Bobcats totaled 382 yards, 269 coming in the high-scoring first half. Rovig completed 13 of 23 passes for just under 200 yards. Sumner ran for 90 and the MSU's 176 total yards on the ground. Bobcats defense was sparked by who else? Troy Anderson, who contributed 2 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss, and an interception. He also had a pass breakup and a fumble that Josh Hill was credited for, but Anderson didn't get it, but Anderson really was the one that did it. Fellow linebacker Josh Hill had 8 tackles, and Chase Benson had 2 more sacks. Amondre Williams also had a sack and intercepted a beautiful pass on the sidelines, tippy-toed out of bounds for the big boy, while Braden Lambeau-Conkle and Ty Okado recovered fumbles for MSU. Montana State travels to Northern Colorado again this week. Weekend kickoff is set for 12 o'clock on Saturday. You can watch it on SWX Montana or listen to it on the Bobcat Radio Network. So let's take a quick look at last week's games. Some of the good things that I saw, we're not going to go through the bad and the ugly. We're just going to stay positive this week. They came out hot. Cats have struggled to come out on fire, I think, in the past and put teams away early, but this game was very, very different. Something that we need, I think, in the last three games. Cats are in a win-or-go-home mode. I know a lot of people say they can lose a game, but I think if they lose one before Cat Grizz, or even Cat Grizz, it's going to weigh on the selection committee. We're not in the top 10 of any seeding, which means we're towards the bottom. I don't think we're that far in the bottom, but if you finish fourth in your conference, you've still got Weber, Sacramento State, and Montana ahead of you. You've got to beat one of those. You don't want to be sitting on the bubble as that fourth Big Sky team that they might let in. So they've got to win out here, and that win out would put them ahead of the Grizzlies, especially with the Grizzlies having a really, really tough Weber State game coming up here in a couple weeks. But anyways, back to this one. Anything less than a second round, I think, game for them. They need to make the playoffs, make it in the second round, and be competitive, if not make it into the quarterfinals. We'll see if they can do that or not. But I think it would be a huge letdown if they don't get to that spot. So they've got to take care of business, and one way to do that is to get out hot, put your foot on these people's throats early, and don't let them give up. Number two that I really liked is secondary really stepped up in the game. They gave up some passing yards, but a lot of that was when the quarterback was scrambling around and got like 7 or 8 seconds on the couple times that he did have times to pass. And you can't expect anybody to guard somebody for that long. Sure, it was against an outmatched team. But Southern Utah came in with a very good passing game, and the Cats secondary held up very, very well. So congratulations to all the secondary players out there. I think they stepped up really, really well. The D-line got after the quarterback. Number three, anytime they get dropped back, pressure, it was quick on him. They were hitting him a bunch. He didn't let him escape the pocket to make a lot of plays. He had some where he got it downfield, but a lot of time he was scrambling around like crazy, and there's somebody on the backside just drilling him into the ground. So the D-line, after struggling for a couple games, really, really stepped up. Number four, I think, and this is the most important part, the QB was good. Rovick seemed to gain a lot of confidence going into this game. And as the game rolled on in the first half, the second half, they kind of just handed off the ball. And then he sat for most of the fourth quarter. I've been saying it for months now. I don't think that the quarterback is the issue with this offense. Is it the fault that the offense has struggled? Even though a lot of people think so, I think Rovig is a leader. Is he a great leader in the huddle like McGee or Lule? No, but those are generational players, even though we've got two in my generation. Those are very, very good players, and ones that it's hard to emulate when they had so much success here at MSU. I think Rovig is a good team manager. I think he makes the right decisions. I think he has a good, clean pass when he gets time and everything else, and he's made some good decisions down the road. Sure, hasn't been against the best opponents, but I don't blame University of North Dakota loss on Rovig. I blame that on the receivers for dropping some passes, and I blame a lot of it on that offensive line not giving him a lot of time when he was over there. So I look at this as a really, really positive for him, and I think going forward and stepping up, I think he can build off of this on the road for two road games that should be winnable. You should be able to beat Northern Colorado. UC Davis is a tough team at home. They came in as like the number two or three team in the country, and they've just really fell flat on their face this year. Haven't been able to do much, but they're always a scary team, especially with the Cats on the road, and they're kind of Jekyll and Hyde personality, it seems like, with some of these games. But I don't put a lot of that on Rovick. I think he played very, very well. He put the ball where it needed to be, and that's what he needed to do. So let's move on to the Northern Colorado game, put Southern Utah behind us. Northern Colorado, the Bobcats own a 21-10-1 advantage in the series since 1923. Cats are 9-6 in Greeley, 4-1 at Nottingham Field. It's a weird name for a stadium. The rushers, they're led by Hall with 210 carries for 790 yards and 7 touchdowns. Ison also has 230 yards and a touchdown, and their quarterback, Jacob Kipp, has 64 rushes for 105 yards. So he can scramble. They can do some stuff. Jacob also can pass the ball. He's 170 for 285 six interceptions, 1,984 yards, and 10 touchdowns. He does have 6 picks, so that's something to look at for them. So what do the Cats have to do then to win this game? Get hot early. We talked about it earlier. They need to get hot and stay hot throughout that first half. Make sure Northern Colorado never thinks they're in this game. Blow them away early and put them to bed. Make the Bears one-dimensional, I think, is a very key thing. If you stop the run and make him beat you through the air, he has 6 interceptions. Let him tee off in the backfield and go after him and claw after him in our secondary. Get that defensive line, very, very important. Get some pressure on the quarterback. Make him scramble around. Make him make some mistakes. This defensive line should be the best in the Big Sky, and I really think they need to show up and prove it in this game. And number five, wide receivers need to make some plays. Wide receivers have been a big head-scratcher for me so far this year. The talent is there. They just don't seem to make the hard catches, or they make hard catches look easy, and they make the really easy catches look like the most difficult catch to pass to catch. So I don't really get that this year, but that doesn't help your quarterback get into a groove. It doesn't help your offensive line move the ball. But I think the offensive line, and that's going to be very, very key going into all that said. So with that said, let's look at who we think is going to win. It is November. So I think my heart says the Cats continue to roll to November like they did last year and cruise to a big road win, 38-14. My heart says a little bit differently. I think it always seems to struggle with the Bears on the road, so it may be closer than a lot of people think, but the Cats just have too much talent top to bottom, I think. Our defensive line is too good. Our offensive line should be too good for Northern Colorado. Our quarterback is better than their quarterback. Our receivers are better than theirs. Everywhere you stack it up. Anderson as a linebacker is a stud. Now he's on the Walter Payton list, by the way, that just came out for top offensive player, even though he's not playing it. So I think it'll be a huge thing. So I think the Cats win. 28-10 is what my heart says. My head says 38-14, but hopefully one of those is correct. Well, that'll do it for another week of the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Reminder that we once again will have the Bozeman High playoff game versus Helena High here live this Friday night. Broadcast will start at 6:45 with kickoff scheduled for 7 o'clock. Bozeman Hawk football is brought to you by the Ridge Athletic Club, Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, and the Liquor Spot. I'd like to thank all three of them. It's been amazing doing the games. We're going to keep doing them as long as the Hawks can win the playoff games. We'll have the basketball games coming up, but I'd like to thank those three sponsors. We're getting some more that are coming on, hopefully for basketball, but I'd like to thank them very, very much for all their support throughout this this football season. It's been great doing the games. Again, thank you very much to the Ridge, Spectators, and the Liquor Spot. Well, that'll do it. Good luck to all the football teams this week, and as we always finish, go Cats. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.